Well, I hope our word today really finds a place in your heart. This subject is a very curious subject. Many people have asked me and may have even asked you as someone who believes in God. People have different answers to this question, but God has already shown us the answer in his word. And even knowing the answer about the origin of evil leaves us reflecting about our own selves and our own culpability in the evil that's in this world. So today, we're just going to dive into the subject of the origin of evil. When I say origin of evil, basically, from where does evil come? That's what we're going to look at. What are some of the things that you have heard about the origin of evil? Oh, yep, heard that one. It comes from Satan. Yeah, I've heard that one. Well, that's a good one there. Because of sin, evil exists because of sin. Okay. Why bad things happen to good people. I hope I can address or give you a perspective on the answer, or at least chase you to the cross. We know at the beginning, God created everything good. So if I can get someone to turn to Genesis 1, and I want someone to read verse 4, someone to read verse 10, someone to read verse 12, someone to read verse 18, someone to read verse 21, someone to read verse 25, someone to read verse 31. Verse 4.
God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. Verse 8.
Verse 10.
And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he sees, and God saw that it was good.
Okay, verse 12.
The land produced vegetation, plants bearing seed according to their kinds, and trees bearing fruit with seed in it according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good.
Okay. Verse 18.
To govern the day and the night and to separate light from darkness. And God saw that it was good.
Verse 21.
So God created the great creatures of the sea and every living and moving thing with roots and water and things according to the earth.
Okay, verse 25.
God made the wild animals according to their kinds, the livestock according to their kinds, and all the creatures that move along the ground according to their kinds, and God saw that it was good.
Okay, verse 31.
And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day.
Okay, so everything that God created, he made a point to describe it was good. And he recorded his word to serve notice to the idea that he did not create evil. He's not the source of evil. So one of the questions that answers, by the bad things happen to good people, God is not perpetrating those bad things on good people. And so you have to look at another source as to why bad things happen to good people. So bad things happen to bad people. Bad things happen to good people. And so we know God's not the source, which brings up Cedric's question. Then why did God allow it? If God didn't cause it, isn't he powerful enough not to allow bad things to happen to good people? True, God is powerful enough to stop evil. But we have to realize that God is not following our orders in terms of what to remove or how to remove it. If God was to remove evil, obviously God would have to remove evil the way a God would remove evil, right? Now God is, he's all-knowing, he's absolute. He knows what's evil. And if he was to remove evil, he wouldn't do it like a human, because we would try to size up, compare. He doesn't have to do that, because he can look into the pure motive of why someone did something. And if it fell in the category of evil, he would have to remove that person as the cause of evil. So he wouldn't have to do like we would, go before a judge, a jury, look at the evidence and facts, look at the motives. He doesn't do that. If God was to remove evil, none of us would be here. The lie we told falls in the category of evil. the slanderous motive of making certain statements that we've made puts us in the category of evil. The cheating on your taxes or whatever, the lying to get the benefits will put us in the category of evil. God will have to remove that. See, we can't tell God what evil to keep and what evil to remove. We can't tell God, I want you to remove all evil that is really, really bad. If someone murders, remove that murder. But to God, a lawbreaker is a lawbreaker. He doesn't get into our kind of thinking that say, well, I can tolerate this evil, so you just let that stay. God doesn't do that. God is absolute. He knows our evil motive in our heart. And if God was to remove evil, this whole place would be decimated. So that answers two questions. The first question that answers, we know that God is not the source of evil, because everything he created was good. And if God was to remove evil, he would have to remove everybody. He just crossed the board, remove evil. He would have to remove everybody. So do we want God to remove all evil? The answer would be no. What we want God to do is be loving and patient and send us a mediator whom we can accept and still appear righteous in his sight. In other words, we want God to extend grace and forgiveness. That's what we want God to do. We want God not to remove all evil in the world, because he will have to remove us. And what God does instead is, as scripture says, he waits, not because he's slow, lazy, but he gives everybody a chance to come to the place of desiring forgiveness so they won't have to be destroyed. What that means is that everybody gets a chance to propagate their evil motives and evil intentions. But God prefers to wait and let that evil happen just so one more, two more people can come to the place where they accept Jesus Christ and be forgiven of their sins. He's willing to let evil propagate in order to get those souls. That's why he says God is love. We, on the other hand, will look at all the evil in the world and say, why won't God remove it? We don't see that God, if he was to remove it, he has to wipe everybody out for the lie you told, for the fornication, the sex outside of marriage, for adultery, for stealing, for deceiving, for gossip. If he removed all evil, he had to remove everybody that did that, because that falls in the category of evil. He had to remove all of us. So the fact that he hasn't removed anything speak to his love. Now we can try his patience, because there will be a point where the end of time will sum up and we all will be judged. But God delays that point just so one more person can be saved. So we read in Genesis chapter 1, we saw in verse 4, verse 10, verse 12, verse 18, verse 21, verse 25, verse 31, that every time God created something, he said it was good. Everything that he created was good. So we saw that God's not the originator of evil, and we answered the question, why does God allow bad things to happen to good people? To put things in perspective. So let's jump into looking at the origin of evil. Where did evil come from? It didn't come from creation, because God gave his own opinion of it. I believe that God continued to repeat after he created something, he punctuated with the idea, it is good, it is good, it is good. Because prior to that, there was a rebellion in heaven. Lucifer rebelled. The angels rebelled. I believe that God was designating these things that were good that he created to establish the standard of what earthly goodness was. To those angels that weren't defeated and fallen, God was establishing a standard of what earthly goodness looked like. And it also serves as a standard of what order and beauty looked like, because Adam and Eve, they had to maintain the garden as well as rule over the animals on earth. And so God had established what good looks like. So if you're ruling over something, you got to have some kind of standard by which you rule. And the standard that Adam and Eve had was, God said, this is good. We're going to maintain it. You got to look like that. We know that God declared his creation good. So with the exception of humans, everything else was spoken into existence. If you go through those same scriptures, you will know that God said, let there be. Except for the human being, they were spoken into existence. In other words, God spoke trees into existence out of his own thoughtfulness. The word that's used is ex nihilo. Out of nothing, God created something. If you're God, that's not above your ability. Now, we know that God is pure. God is good. What he creates is good. God is pure. And it's impossible for God to be fake. To be fake is to think, to desire, to act, or to speak other than himself. God doesn't act other than himself. You know, sometimes we want to get next to somebody, put on our best behavior. God doesn't do that. When God does something, he doesn't have to be different because he is the ultimate power. So it's impossible for him to be fake. If he's pure and he's good and he's just, what exudes from him is goodness. And that's what creation was about. What came from him was good. All he had to be is who he was for goodness to produce. And so it would be impossible for God to create evil since there's no evil that exists in him. In order to create evil out of nothing, God would have had to reach within himself and produce that which is evil. There's nothing in him that's fake and he's good. The only thing in him to be created from him was goodness, was what was pure, and what was just. There's no evil in his nature, his thoughts, or his desires. Everything God made came from his own imagination, his own thoughts. It came from his own desires. So the resources to produce evil was not in God. It's not in him to produce. So he could not have created evil, which takes us back to the original question. Since God's not the corporate, where did it come from? This is very key. And physicists will agree with this. Evil has a similar beginning as darkness and cold. All three of them, evil, darkness, and cold, are conditions that exist as a result of something being missed. In and of themselves, they have no substance. Evil, darkness, and cold does not result when that something is in its place. In a light bulb inside there, when it's on, darkness cannot happen inside that light bulb. Darkness can only happen inside the light bulb when the light bulb is off, when there's no light there. Same thing with cold. Inside your oven, cold cannot exist when your oven is on. There's no point in the oven that cold can exist. Cold happens when the heat is removed from your oven. Evil results when good is not in its place. When good should be somewhere and good is not there, evil results. So we asked the wrong question. You're going to get the wrong answer. We asked where the evil originated. It didn't have an origin. It's a result of good being missing. Here's a better example that we all can relate to. I know I can. Think of being broke. Indulge me. Let's say you had $1,000 free and clear in your savings, whether you save it in the bank, in your mattress, or you got a wad in your pocket. And let's say for some reason, you wanted to get some broke. B-R-O-K-E. You wanted to get some broke. You can't get some broke because being broke is not something that you can obtain. Broke cannot exist in and of itself. Money would have to come up missing in order for you to get some broke, right? So just like cold, just like evil, just like darkness, they can only exist when something else is missing. and being broke can only exist when your money to come up short. Something got to be missing to get some broke, to be broke. See, likewise, God would have to not be God in order for evil to result from him. He would have to not be God. Because God is just, God is pure, and everything he creates is good. So he would have to not be God. But we know it's impossible for God to not be what he is. That's called, in theological terms, transcendent righteousness. That whatever God does, righteousness is in it because it's his nature. It comes through him. It can't be fake because of his intrinsic righteousness. And the same thing, God will have to not be God in order for evil to result for him. So we have to eliminate God as a suspect of the origin of evil because God's not fake. Something else that decides or to act as though there is no God will have to be responsible. When something else acts or exists as though there is no God, act independent of God, then that is the suspect for evil. But there's only two creatures that were made that are free to choose, angels and humans. Both of them made bad choices. Lucifer made a bad choice. Adam made a bad choice. So we are free and clear to choose to obey God or disobey God. God knows that true loyalty is choosing to live his way, even in the face of temptation to do otherwise. We have a choice. We have a choice. When we're tempted or pressed for whatever reason to choose God, we might not choose God because we feel that temptation is going to cause something bad to happen. But if God sees and knows we're choosing him in the face of danger, he comes to our rescue because his reputation is on the line. His people are choosing him, and now they're suffering. Now God's going to make sure in the end you're going to come out on top for choosing him, even though it looks like if I make this choice that I know is godly, I'm going to miss out. God's represented online. When we are tempted to disobey, even though obeying him will cause us to miss out, when God sees that we prefer to choose him, to be faithful and loyal to him, even knowing that we really want to do that, but we're choosing him, God will have to come to our rescue. Otherwise, people are going to stop believing in him. His people are choosing him and see what happens to them. I don't want any part of that. So that's the way God does to his moral agents, angels and humans. But animals are different. Animals, on the other hand, by nature, are forced to live according to the design of their species. They do not choose. Now, some of us might believe the animals are choosing, but they act on instinct and conditioning. You know, when you train your dog stuff, that's conditioning. That's reward and response. That's why you reward and response to behavior. Humans can think. Some babies come out strong-willed. They get that tight lip. They ain't putting that broccoli in their mouth. Don't care what you do. But animals, based on conditioning, they do certain things, or it seems like they're choosing something, but they've been conditioned to respond a certain way because they've gotten rewards from responding a certain way, or they've been conditioned to not respond in a certain way because they experience some pain by responding that way. So they end up responding in a way that we like them to respond, but that's just as a result of reward and punishment conditioning. See, animals have this fright, fight, flee, and reproduction instinct. They act on that. They don't choose to obey God. Obedience to God is the substance of good because obedience to God keeps evil from being in that place where you are, where I am. Evil cannot rule and reign where I'm being obedient to God. Remember, evil only exists as a result of something missing, just as cold only exists as a result of heat being missing. Disobeying God, whether it's intentionally or unknowingly, will result in evil. When God's program, God's way, is not operating, regardless of the reason, you know, just like somebody slipped and fall and accidentally stabbed you, you're still going to hurt and bleed, regardless of whether it was a mistake. If they say, oh, man, my bad, it's gonna be, you're going to have the same result. Whether intentionally or not, you're going to bleed, you're going to hurt, you're going to heal within the same amount of time. So disobeying God, whether intentionally or unintentionally, evil is going to fill that space. And so disobedience is to act, think, or decide apart from God. Lucifer and Adam did just that. So evil was a resulting condition of choice. The choice of Adam and the choice of Lucifer. Now, I know it's the choice of Lucifer, because later on, Lucifer, the devil, had a conversation with God where he showed his hand or why he does things. See, God doesn't want us to be like animals. He doesn't want us to be forced to obey him off of instinct or conditioning response. He wants free moral agents. He wants human beings that would choose to deny pleasure if they had to, if that was the case. I'm not saying God wants us to deny pleasure, but if there's an opportunity for pleasure and that was contrary to what God wants us to do, we can choose God's way. And that's what God's counting on. Lucifer, on the other hand, told God, skin for skin, man will spit in your face to save his own soul. In other words, skin protects skin. Flesh looks out for flesh. And when man wants flesh to be satisfied, he's going to go for that. He ain't going to obey you all some kind of loyalty. That sounds like what we hear in the street. But let's look at the origin of it. Let's turn to Job chapter 2. Because even though it has a feel-good sound to it, its origin is from the devil. That was his argument for why he believed that humans ain't trying to hear this obedience thing. So, Job chapter 2, verse 4 through 8. For it says, this is what the devil says. Skin for skin, Satan replied, a man will give all he has for his own life. But now stretch out your hand and strike his flesh and bones, and he will surely curse you to your face. He told God, man, you let something happen to his flesh, man. God, that brother going to cuss you out. He's going to abandon you. He's going to drop you like a hot potato. That's what the devil tells God. Man, do anything for his flesh. He ain't going for this loyalty stuff. That's the devil's argument as to why he believes that humans will follow him rather than follow God. He goes on to say in verse 6, the Lord said to Satan, okay, all right, I hear you. Very well, then he is in your hands, but spare his life. He said, you can do whatever you want to do with his flesh. Don't so kill him. God is looking for choosers. He's looking for choosers, those who would choose him. And I read this to let you know that the devil is intentionally messing with us to prove to God that we would choose to save our own flesh, to survive, to do things our way, if it meant cursing him in the face, rather than just simply be loyal to him and go out being loyal to him. This is the argument that the devil and the Lord has. So when we start talking about the origin of evil, evil exists in choices, all of our choices. The only way evil can dominate in our life if we make choices as though there is no God, as though God has nothing to say about the choice we're making, that becomes a godless choice. And that's where evil can manifest. And we will ask questions, well, why does that happen? How come I don't get blessed? We think that evil is something that we got to do, something we got to stop doing. Evil is the way we got to think. Maybe we're not reading our Bible enough. But the clue is evil only exists when something's missing and when good is missing. And so what we have to do, we have to realize that God and only God is all good. And he, in his word, has laid out how he wants us to live. And I'm not saying that we have to walk around with this Bible and for it to have all the answers to our practical decisions day by day. That wouldn't be practical. And that's why in Ephesians chapter 1, 13 to 14, it says that when we place our faith in Jesus Christ, God deposits his Holy Spirit in us. So God puts a part of himself in us. And it's that part and only that part that can speak to us and empower us to choose. Because we can't choose. Speak for myself. I cannot choose good on Jimmy's power. It's only because the presence of God that enables me and informs me that I'm able to do it. And I don't do it all the time. The little bit of success I have is because of what God deposited in me. I get better and better year by year. I'm better than what I used to be. But the point is, it's the Holy Spirit, is the divine life that he deposits in us, which is that life that enables me to make the choices that keep evil from being present, because the good is there. And even when I do something wrong, the scripture tells us that when I ask God for forgiveness, it says that what he'll do, he is just. He'll purify me where evil doesn't occupy that spot, but the goodness of Christ occupies that spot. His grace occupies that spot. So we're going to do wrong things, but we have to be quick to seek forgiveness. And God's quick to fill that spot with the grace of Christ. Now, we must always understand what I said last week. God does not look for us to be good or bad. He looks for us to be genuine and sincere, be honest about our mess to him. And that we must be. We always have to be honest. And we'll find more progress and more growth in simply being honest than trying to be good. So, in terms of the origin of evil, that speaks to its origin. That speaks to why it exists in the first place. So the question becomes, how shall we live? How shall we live? And see, and that's where the differences come in. People in the churches, you got people with different generations. You got boomers, you got Gen X's, you got millennials. They have a different way of walking out our obedience in Christ. And in some ways, each of them are right. In other ways, each of them are wrong. And that's why it's important for us to understand that we are all different. Just because someone in the church may say something, it doesn't mean they're a hypocrite, doesn't mean they're a Pharisee, doesn't mean that they are, you know, a sinner or didn't accept Christ. Is that they're looking at the same thing through a different lens. And we have to learn to work together and not put our preferences in the face of each other. Because then that could result in us doing things that aren't good. And you know what happens when we start doing things that aren't good? Evil steps in to that place. I'm going to stop right here to see if there are any comments or thoughts or observations that anyone has about or questions about this subject. If there isn't anything else, I'd like to ask if someone would close us for a word of prayer.